Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read out of Luke chapter 7. It may be a familiar passage, but it's a great passage and a story that Christ painted here for us. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Then, after he told the Pharisees a parable about two debtors, Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, the one who had invited him to dinner, and asked, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." That's a pretty interesting scene that I just read about when we take a look at not only what is occurring, but who is involved in it. To begin with, the scripture we just read paints a picture of a dinner party hosted by a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a member and just one of a religious society in those days, which included many professional religionists speaking about and teaching doctrines and dogmas of acceptable religious behavior that they deemed necessary to fit into the religious norms of the day. Certainly, I hope not anything we would see in our churches or ministries or communities today. At least I would hope not. The Pharisees, who are involved in this story recorded in the Gospel of Luke, believe that accepted religion consisted of temple laws and rituals and traditions, all idols that controlled them and that they wanted to use to control others. To them, religion was more about how you looked with appropriate piety and behavior in the world around you, the right clothing, saying the right things, regular church and worship attendance at the prescribed times. All the religious to-dos, the idols, which only got in the way of a relationship with God. Remember from a few weeks ago, we saw that an idol, fake or counterfeit God, small g, was anything that was more important to you than God himself. All the things that Jesus was always pushing back on himself then and today. But instead, Jesus said to those Pharisees gathered there that the message of faith of which he spoke, a true faith, was demonstrated in a relationship with him and then with others. And it began from within. It sprang up out of the heart of love and caring and reached directly toward God, not toward stuff or rules or regulations or traditions. The central focus of his message was that the way of his kingdom is first, foremost, and above all, a matter of the heart, a matter of what's inside. True faith was not and is not today a matter of religiosity, but instead was a matter of a right and sacrificial attitude toward God and toward people. It was a matter of surrender to the leading of God, with God first in all things, a desire to know and please him, to serve and reflect him in our words and actions to the world around us, all the way to the cross. That is who we must be to the world. That must be our identity. That must be the identity which the world would attribute to us as they watched us on our journey. That must be the answer to the question of the last few weeks, who are you? The answer must be, we are God's child, just like that woman seeking and needing God we read about a moment ago. So there they were, that group of Pharisees having a dinner party, I wonder what their conversation was about. Maybe about Sabbath law and who they saw violating it recently, who was associating with non-religious people contrary to what was proper and accepted. Probably enough things to bore you stiff if you were listening or a part of it. I'm guessing there probably was no music playing in the background, just wondering. And food, probably by the religious book. And then Jesus enters. Then what do they begin talking about? But after Jesus enters, well, then in walks this woman. Now what? All the rules, regulations, discussions, protocols would seem to be out the door. The Pharisees were no doubt beside themselves with the entry of this woman. Surely it would get around in the temple circles that they were consorting with a woman of the night at their dinner party. You know, though, that Jesus had to know this was going to happen and probably had a wry smile on his face as he watched it all unfold. And can't you just imagine the faces of the Pharisees when this sinful woman makes her appearance in that room? And then she stayed, uninvited, mind you, and began to wet Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume from her jar on them, and kept wiping his feet with her hair. Jeez. I mean, this was probably worse for the Pharisees to experience and watch than having to watch Jesus heal on the Sabbath. But her act of worship may be one of the most sincere, beautiful, and authentic statements of faith in all of Scripture. She risked everything. Of what little she had left, she risked it all to anoint Christ, to love Christ. She knew perfectly well that those, quote, holier-than-thou, close quote, Pharisees stoned women like her and just may stone her as well, but she risked it all anyway. She pushed everything she had into the middle of the table, her most precious possession, which she used to make herself more desirable in her only and most lonely profession of prostitution, was that alabaster jar of perfume. And she used every bit of it, poured all of it out. In the Gospel of Mark, it's recorded that she broke the jar, poured all of it out, broke the jar, whatever, in this selfless, sacrificial profession of faith for and with Christ. She walked out of the shadows of sin she had been living in and into the light of Christ in the world. She came clean and reached out and fell full face on the grace of God. She was seeking a relationship with the only one who she finally realized could save her. She wasn't sure how to get past or comply with all the religious idols, the rules, the barricades, to get to the one she had heard of as the long-awaited Messiah. She never got the, quote, religious, close quote, steps and rules right. She wasn't part of the group. She was a sinner. Not holy like all the rest, a sinner looking in from the outside. So she just pushed past the criticism and fear, past her past the shame and the guilt that she was still dragging around, past all the religious idols, the rules, the regulations, the requirements, the moralism, the legalism, and the judgments. She didn't want a religion or relationship based on or identified with those idols, those fake gods. She could never measure up. Things she could never and should never have to live up to or satisfy. She pushed past all of that to the only thing that could save her, the grace of God. All she wanted was a relationship with Christ, the one who also wanted a relationship with her, one that could and would change her life. Interestingly, according to those Pharisees around the dinner table in that room, the sinful life that she was living disqualified her from even approaching the throne of God's grace, from approaching the giver of life. She shouldn't be in that room with them and with Jesus. When in fact, and something those self-proclaimed, quote, holy, close quote, experts in the religious law would never understand, was that her sin was the only thing that qualified her and the only thing that qualifies you and me to come and receive the overwhelming, life-changing grace of God. And so she surrendered to the only one who could help her, just a sinner saved by grace. Maybe, just like you and me, just like that, all to Him, everything to Him. What is it we need to surrender? What is it we need to get past, to turn over, to pour out, to give up? All those things that are still keeping us from that full and real relationship with the God of all creation. Your all-consuming job, your stuff or search for stuff and comfort, all your ladder-climbing ventures seeking success, a hatred for something or someone which still controls you, a habit you need to get over before it becomes an addiction, something you need to forgive someone for or yourself, a desire for popularity, a yearning for the acceptance you never got as a child. What is it? What is it holding you back? Why not go with me to the dinner party and sit before that same Christ who that precious, sinful woman sat before and do what she did? Give it all to Him. Surrender it all to Him. Be with and follow Him. Only Him, always and in all ways, just like Him, just like her, just like us, and give it all to Him. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You for this time together where we just stop and remember a woman like that who shouldn't even have been there, but actually she should have been there because that's where You wanted her and that's where You want us, at Your feet, standing before You, surrendering everything that we have and everything about us to You so that You can make us into all that You created us to be. Thanks for loving us, all You do for us. Thanks for leading and guiding us every day of our lives. And it's in Your precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.